Are you ready for 2020? If not, don't worry. We've got you covered on this episode of Secrets of Staffing Success. And today's episode is brought to you by Haley Marketing Group. If you're like most staffing firms, finding good candidates right now is a major struggle. At Haley Marketing, we have a number of tools that will help you recruit both active and passive candidates, drive more traffic to your job board, and increase applications. To learn more, give us a call at 888-696-2900.
Welcome to Secrets of Staffing Success from Haley Marketing. Candid conversations with innovators and thought leaders in the staffing and recruiting industries. Your host for Secrets of Staffing Success is Todd Lewandowski. And now, here's Todd.
Well, it's a special episode of Secrets of Staffing Success this week because it's the holiday season and people are busy, got a lot going on. I decided why not bring on our fellow host of Insights as part of the Secrets of Staffing Success family, Brad Biley. Brad?
It's great to be on, Todd.
It's a crossover episode. Oh, I love a crossover episode. So what I wanted to do, and I know you guys talked a little bit about this on a past episode of Insights, where you guys kind of focused on what you need to be doing for social media in 2020. And we'll get to a little bit of social media too, but I want to really kind of take a look at marketing as a whole for the staffing and recruiting industry. What needs to be done to really knock 2020 out of the park? Because as we've talked about many times on this show, there's some uncertainty coming in 2020. Is this the year of the recession? Is it going to be a big recession? Is it just going to be a little blip? We don't know, and that's scary for a lot of staffing owners. So I wanted to kind of talk about a bunch of different areas of where staffing firms need to be looking at, what they need to be doing with their various areas of marketing to get ready for 2020 and to really be able to, if it does happen, survive a recession. So let's start with what I always kind of like to call the new front door of staffing firms, which is the websites. There's a lot, especially on the legal side of things right now, with websites. So let's start with ADA compliance, Brad. This is a kind of a big deal right now for staffing firms.
Yeah, Todd, and I'm not the authority at Haley Marketing Group on ADA compliance, and I don't want it to come off like I am, so I'm going to pass this one a little bit, and what I'm going to say is that at Haley Marketing Group, our team, our tech team, our web dev team, our client success team has invested a ton of time into analyzing and researching ADA compliance, so much so that we're now putting out consistent content on Ask Haley, the Haley Marketing Group blog, about ADA compliance. We've put together a product demo on what you should be looking for. You know, at my 30,000 view of ADA compliance, you know, and this is not going to do it full justice. I know a lot of it comes down to the colors on your website, making sure that it's easy to see the content on your website for people that might be seeing impaired, thinking through the font selections that you use, making sure it's easy to digest that content so that it's easy to see. I know that you also need to be compliant in the sense of the copy needs to be able to go through a audio reader. So if somebody is asking Google or Alexa or another reader to actually digest that content and spit it out in audio, that it's easy to do so. And again, I'm not the authority on this topic. I know we wanted to start with websites, and I like where we're going with the rest of the segment. But if you do have questions on ADA compliance, I would definitely direct you back to the Haley Marketing Group blog, Ask Haley blog, and also look at our product demo, which we can link to in the show notes.
And also just to throw another plug in there for Haley Marketing, I know all of our websites now, our starter sites, are all ADA built to be ADA compliant. So that's going to be a huge thing. If you're looking at a new website in 2020, that's something to consider. And speaking of a new website in 2020, that's one of the first places that I want staffing firms to take a look at. When you go to your website, does the website look like it belongs in 2020? Or does it still look like it's 2006, probably because it was built in 2006?
Yeah, that website is really the first impression that you make on a potential candidate or a prospect. So think through, if you were removed from your organization and you're seeing your website, your job board for the first time, what sort of image is that portraying? Is it the image that you want your staffing firm to have? If not, is it a small tweak that you can make, or is it something a little bit more comprehensive? Do you need a whole new facelift?
And not only just the aesthetic look and the aesthetic feel, and does it feel modern, but does it portray what you do?
Sure.
If I go to your website and I see a picture of a construction worker, you better make sure you're doing construction staffing. We've come across this many times where the images of a staffing website do not match what they do. You know, I should know them within 2 seconds of going to your website, what you do, what services you provide.
Absolutely. And I might even flip that into, you know, the services you provide and then what you do, really thinking through the why. Why can you help a candidate? Why can you help a prospect? Really selling the why. Todd, you make a great point with imagery that also aligns with overall content and overall flow of the website. You want to make sure that everything that you do on your website is funneling to an action page, to a conversion page. In 2020, you want to make sure that you're reducing as much friction as possible. I know as we continue to look at website data from across the staffing and recruiting industry, we see that percentage of mobile traffic continuing to climb month over month, year over year. In 2020, I see that growing even more. So if your website isn't mobile friendly, isn't accessible on a mobile device, if job candidates, if potential prospects can't get a hold of you on both desktop and mobile, if there's friction in there, really think through that. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that I might challenge you to do is go to your job board on desktop, on mobile, and see how long it actually takes you to apply for a given opportunity. Physically time yourself.
Yeah.
Is there friction? What can you do to reduce that?
And that brings us to the next section that I want to talk about, was the job board. Obviously, sure. It's a big part of staffing websites. You already touched on the mobile part. You know, you need to make sure your job board is mobile friendly, even probably more so than your website being mobile friendly, because more people are going to be interacting and you got that user interface with your job board. So one, is it mobile friendly? Is it very easy for me, one, to get to the job board, and two, maneuver around once I'm in there? Can I very easily search by jobs? Can I use filters to search for jobs? Can I apply? Like you said, is it very easy? Is that apply button big where I can just hit it, get right to the application?
Yeah. And are there multiple ways for a candidate to apply? So think about the mobile experience of a job candidate who's looking at your job board during the commercial for a program at night. If they are ready to apply to a job on your job board, what are you asking them to do? Are you asking for a resume, their social security number? I know we see time after time that a lot of job boards want the last six of your social. Mm-hmm. I'm not ready to give that out. It's step one of the process.
No.
Really think through what you're asking for. Can somebody apply just by using LinkedIn? Can somebody apply through their ZipRecruiter profile or their Indeed profile maybe? What other steps can they use to apply? And I know the Haley Marketing Group job board does a great job of having multiple ways for individuals to apply. Quick plug for our job board solution, because it is a phenomenal solution that allows candidates to apply how they want to.
Right. And then let's look at the jobs themselves. Take a look at your job titles. Are they very clear? Do I know exactly what this job is? Does it have location information in there? You know, making sure they're SEO friendly. Then let's take a look at the descriptions themselves. Are they selling the job? This is a candidate market right now. You need to be attracting passive candidates. So if I'm coming to your job, to your job board and looking at your jobs, what makes me want to leave my current situation? Why do I want to do this? What makes this employer great? What makes the benefits great? What makes the working environment great? Really sell this job and make sure you do that in the first paragraph of the description.
Yeah, you have to convince the applicant. You have to convince that passive candidate to leave their current role. They might be happy where they are. What will entice them to apply for this opportunity? Todd, to me, you have to include salary.
Yeah,
the individual has to know what they'll make before they apply to that opportunity. Otherwise, the likelihood that they're going to apply decreases instantly.
Yep.
You think about somebody in this market right now at 3.8% unemployment. We're practically at full employment. If we think about the type of individual who is going to apply to that opportunity, they're happily employed somewhere else.
Yep.
So why are they going to leave? Like Todd was saying, yes, better opportunity, better atmosphere, better culture, a more challenging role, but it's also salary.
Yep. And then what are you doing with those jobs? How are you getting people to your job board? It's not enough to just put it out there on the job board and hope that you know, everybody gets attracted to it. You have to get people there. You have to make sure you're promoting that on social media. And keep in mind, too, when you're promoting it on social media, to continue to sell that job. Because if a passive candidate is looking on social media and they see a job advertisement on there, it's not enough for it just to be the job title and a quick description. Again, you need to start selling before they even get to your job board.
Yeah, and I don't know exactly where I heard this from, Todd, but there was a great marketer somewhere that said, Field of Dreams marketing is dead. If you build it, no one is coming. And I think when you think about your job, you think about your website, yes, you can certainly optimize for search and you can increase the likelihood that individuals find you via search, but you need to be pushing that content out and you need to be pushing those jobs out. So if you're not leveraging your job board across social media, an email newsletter, a referral program, email signatures, thinking through how you can get those jobs in front of other individuals, you absolutely have to start in 2020. Yeah.
Well, that's, I think, a good segue into, you know, your area of expertise here, which is social media. So let's talk about social media 2020. Like I said, if you guys want to take a listen back to one of the last episodes of Insights, Brad and Matt Lozar get into some really good detail about what you need to be doing across social media in 2020. But I want to kind of take a look at what are the must-haves right now? If I'm a staffing firm and I want to do an audit of my social media presence, what are the must-haves? I don't want to say bare minimum because you need to be doing more than the bare minimum. What are the must-haves in 2020?
It starts with understanding your why, and it starts with understanding your strategy and your goals. So if we're thinking about social media in 2020, we cannot just post just to do it. Mm. We can't just join the clutter. We as an industry can't compete against bands, sports teams, even friends and family members on social media. Mm. We need a goal and we need to understand our purpose for every single post that we're deploying on social. Once we have that goal, then we can reverse engineer that and work backwards from it. But we need to know what we're trying to accomplish. You know, we don't want to just post individual after individual in your office, you know, coffee cups, branded things that you have sitting around, those trinkets that you have, right? Those giveaways. We want to have a purpose. Is it to generate more applications, more job orders? And from there, how are we going to do that? Is it through content? Is it through specific jobs? I mean, we could get very tactical. You know, what is working on social media? I love that conversation. But as you're listening now, I want to challenge you that before January 1st, come up with your why and come up with that goal of social media. What are you trying to accomplish in the next 3 to 6 to 12 months because of social media? And then work backwards from there.
And I'm glad you gave a couple of examples too, because I think a lot of staffing firms may look at it as just, well, I need to be on social media. I need to have a presence there, but they don't know what those goals can be. So, you know, let's expand on that a little bit. What can some of the goals of being on social media be?
So, when we think about goals of social media, in the staffing and recruiting industry, we want to bring that back to applications and job orders. Your goal shouldn't be page likes, post likes, engagement on social media. If we think about engagement on social media for our industry, it doesn't happen. We have passive job seekers who are reading content about finding their next job. Instinctively, those people aren't going to share that content.
Right.
They're passively looking for work. They're not going to share that content so that their boss knows they're not happy, right? So we can't look at those billboard metrics like sports teams can. We need to look at applications and job orders. We need to look at the goal of how can we increase our employer brand. Maybe that's generating more reviews and making sure that we're positioned as the employer of choice in Buffalo, New York. Mm-hmm. We need to really bring everything back to our business because we can't compete against the Goliaths of the ecosystem that are bands and sports teams. We just can't.
And one final plea I'll make here on the social media side, please, even if your number one, number two, number three goal for 2020 is all we need more applications, please don't make your social media feeds just job listings. I can't tell you how dull that looks. And if you're posting a lot of jobs, use different imagery for the jobs. Use imagery that applies to that job. Don't use the generic two people standing there with a shirt and tie on, smiling at the camera. Make sure that the imagery applies to the job. And then, like I said, intersperse other things with it. It doesn't have to be just jobs. Profiles of some of your employees, internal employees, and your candidates as well. Videos. Don't be afraid to link to other people. Make yourself, share expert information, even if it's not coming directly from you, and even if it isn't going to drive traffic to your website, don't be afraid to put that expertise out there every once in a while.
One thing that I've been loving to do lately is using testimonials as an opportunity to drive people back to the job board. So if you're generating testimonials, if you're generating this great positive feedback, whether that's on Google, Yelp, Facebook, wherever you're generating those testimonials, just your website, take that testimonial, turn it into a graphic, and then your social copy above it becomes, are you looking for a great opportunity like Brad?
Mm-hmm.
We have 100 jobs available on our job board right now, and there's one that is perfect for you. Yep. Apply online today. Switching it like that turns it from a, hey, apply to this job, apply to this job, apply to this job, to how can I see myself in that role? I want to be like the person in that graphic, and you're flipping it. So that's something that I just love to do lately. And it's a great way just to, like you were saying, Todd, to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah.
You still have the same outcome, applications. You're just doing it a different way.
You mentioned about metrics too, and you know, you don't need to worry about page views. Should we completely ignore things like page views and likes and shares and all that stuff? Is it really just come down to applications and job orders, or should we still be looking to make sure that what we're doing, what we're putting out there, is still being viewed by people and still being you know, liked by people?
Those are your top level indicators that something's working, right? So you do want to pay attention to those. You want to be mindful of those. The reason that I am passionate about engagement is because I've observed the industry for now 7 years, looking at social media specifically for staffing and recruiting. And let me use Twitter for an example here. I was leading this charge for the longest time of Twitter, that Twitter is a viable platform for staffing and recruiting. And the light bulb kind of turned on earlier this summer that, you know, no one is retweeting content. Why? Well, it's because they're already employed and they can't. They're not going to share content when they're already employed about how to improve their resume or find their next opportunity.
Yeah, right.
So, yes, you want to be mindful of likes, shares, comments, engagement metrics, right? Those billboard stats. Total views and in post reach on Facebook, things like that. But yeah, we want to look deeper down the line to, okay, what is this resulting in? Because likes don't pay the bills, applications do.
Mm-hmm. We started off this conversation about social media saying, you know, what's kind of the must-haves. What's that next level type of content for 2020? We've heard a lot over the past 2 years about video. Video is, you know, going to trump everything else. Is it still the case, or are we looking now at something else coming up in 2020?
So I've talked about this a couple times on Insights. It's a book called Marketing Rebellion by Mark Schaefer, and he's got a quote in there that I love that says, be more human, the most human company wins. Mm. And for me, as we look at social media in 2020, I'm aligned with that mentality. Whether that's video, imagery, content, jobs, it's being human. It's listening to social media in groups, which is a great tactic, in groups, being human, joining the conversation, using groups as a way to say, okay, there's 10,000 people in Buffalo, New York that right now that are looking for work. I'm going to join the group. I'm going to be human. And instead of posting job after job after job, I'm going to say, hey, Brad, it looks like you're looking for a new opportunity. We have 15 on our job board, and there's one that is perfect for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to chat or grab a cup of coffee with you. It's being human. If it's video content, video is absolutely having an impact on social media right now, but it's because it's human. There's a human element of that video. You can see an individual moving, talking through the camera to somebody. It's that one-to-one dialogue. It's having conversations when there is engagement on your page. One thing that absolutely drives me crazy, I call it the graveyard of leads. We look at Facebook Messenger for about 120 different companies right now, and day after day, I see candidates and prospects messaging companies, and nobody's responding.
Yeah.
Your candidate, your prospect is getting that answer from somebody, and if it's not you, you can guess who it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's your local competitor, right? Yep. So social media is a platform where individuals can come together. They can have this dialogue, this communication. What's working right now, groups, video, content, messaging, having that dialogue, being human. You know, yes, there's a level of automation that you can deploy to be successful, but ultimately we need to be human. We need to have that human touch.
I think that's what killed LinkedIn groups too. You know, for a long time, LinkedIn groups were so popular. You had to post everything in the LinkedIn groups. But in the staffing and recruiting marketplace, those just became places to put links to jobs. Yep. And discussions, you know, good, thoughtful discussions about what's working, what's not working, disappeared because it was just overloaded with jobs. And hopefully that doesn't happen with Facebook. Hopefully we've learned our lessons from LinkedIn and that we don't just completely destroy Facebook groups now. Sure. But I like what you're saying about making sure that it's still about the conversation. I mean, it's called social media for a reason.
Correct.
It's a social platform.
And really, you just need to think about how you are using social media. Think about the user experience, right? So we as marketers have a way of messing things up, right? Yeah. And so does so do the wrong people on social media. Mm. You know, on the last episode of Insights, I was ready to put a knife in LinkedIn InMail because of a few bad people, you know, a few bad instances. And the unfortunate part of that is the negative outweighs the positive sometimes on social, and it does ruin a good thing. So, yes, we need to get back to our roots. We need to get back to what we're trying to accomplish as an organization. Always come back to your goals and then deploy the tactics that are going to be successful there.
Let's take a move over to content marketing, which still applies to the social media side of things. But, you know, there's definitely a distinct difference there between social media and content marketing. And this is kind of my area of expertise. I want to talk first about emails. You know, we hear this every single year. Is email marketing dead? Is email marketing dead? Think about how many emails you got on Cyber Monday or over the Black Friday weekend. And yeah, you probably ignored a lot of them. But I bet you still looked at some of your favorites, and I bet that still drove a lot of business to, you know, mostly people on the retail side. Yep. But it still works. We have not seen a significant decrease in the 17 years that I've been here in open rates, click rates. You know, they've gone down very, very minor amounts, but it's not a significant amount where you'd go, yeah, email marketing is dead. It still works. So from that aspect, do not, and I don't want to sound biased here because I work with our email marketing side of things, but do not give up on email marketing. What you need to remember with email marketing, one, is the delivery. Just like websites, just like job board, are they mobile friendly? We're seeing upwards of 60 to 70% opens on mobile devices. It's crucial to make sure that you have big imagery, big headlines, big call to action buttons. Less is more in terms of text with emails now. Make sure that you that it is very easy, if you're using your left thumb or your right thumb, it's very easy to click through to some content to drive people to your website. In terms of, you know, making sure that you are standing out, I always hate saying this because I know it's going to be taken the wrong way, but in the staffing industry, your recipients do not want to hear about staffing. Do they want candidates? Absolutely. Do they want job alerts? Absolutely. But do they want specifics about how you do your job? And no. And I am not just pulling this out of thin air. For 17 years, I have been looking every year at the best content that we put out and the worst content that we put out. And year after year, the bottom five pieces of content are all related to staffing. And I know the industry doesn't want to hear that. We like to have good egos and think that what we're doing is people are interested in, but that's just not the case. And I don't know if you see it on the social media side of things as well, but that's certainly the case with email and content marketing.
I think bigger picture, it comes back into the what's in it for me, right? So any messaging that you send, regardless of where it is, has to resonate with the person that's consuming that message.
Yeah.
Whether that's a phone call, a text message, social media, email, website copy, what's in it for me? So you don't want to be self-serving with any message because what's the why?
Yeah.
Right? You're asking me to take time out of what I'm doing to read your email. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing you didn't mention, Todd, is that the subject line has to be captivating too. You have to walk that line of clickbait because you're fighting for attention before somebody even opens the email. But once I do open it, what's in it for me? Why am I here? And how can you help me? Mm-hmm. Again, 3.8% unemployment, the majority of individuals are happily employed. How can you help me take that to the next level? Is it more money because I am trying to pay bills or I'm in debt and I want to, you know, have a better lifestyle? Mm-hmm. Maybe. Is it, yeah, I'm happy, but I'd consider a different company culture? Maybe. Thinking through those elements of what's in it for me is universal. It doesn't matter what platform that's on.
Yeah. And I always like to tell clients, tell a story. So, you know I said that people don't want to read about staffing and recruiting, but if you can turn that into a story, then yeah, instead of an article being, you know, five ways a staffing firm can help candidates, why not tell a story about one of your candidates that maybe you placed them in a job and a year after they, you know, got that job, they were able to buy a house. Yep. Or they were able to get married. They were able to take that dream vacation. Humanize the story. Don't just make it bullet points about, you know, what we can do for you. Show people what you've done for somebody else.
Yeah, I'm very blessed over here at Haley Todd to have gone out to, you know, a number of industry conferences this year and speak on behalf of Haley and get to meet a lot of individuals throughout the industry. And as you're saying that, there's two experiences that come directly to my mind, both from the Florida Staffing Association and the Colorado Staffing Association, where they bring somebody on stage as the top associate of the year, and it's somebody that has been placed through one of the staffing firms in attendance, and there's not a dry eye in the crowd.
Yep.
They bring somebody on stage who's down on their luck, couldn't find a job opportunity, finally make a phone call to a staffing agency, they find their next opportunity, and then I don't know the screening process to select this one individual. I assume, you know, there's a process that goes through it, but that sells staffing. Going through that and selling that individual and showcasing that individual and saying, hey, a year ago, here's where they were.
Yeah.
And look where they are now. You can absolutely sell staffing in that way. Yeah. And that's what we need more of. We need more of those success stories because, candidly, we have a bad reputation as an industry.
Sure.
And if we can sell the positives to potential candidates, to potential individuals who are looking for that next opportunity, that content will always cut through the clutter.
And flip it over to the client side as well. Don't just say, what can a staffing firm do to help productivity at your company? Show examples of what you've done. We always like the problem, yep, solution, outcome kind of format for a case study. So think about how you have helped some of your clients either grow, you know, double in size, or, you know, increase productivity. Those have such a more positive impact than just a, here's what we can do for you.
Right. Cause it's a big risk to pick a, yeah, new staffing provider, right?
Sure.
So if somebody has been doing their own hiring for, let's say, 25 years, now their machines are down or production's down and they need to find a team to, you know, staff this production line or do whatever. Mm-hmm. It's a big risk and there's, mm-hmm, a lot of risk involved in that. Having case studies to support that is so much easier than, hey, you should trust us.
Yeah.
We've been in business for 25 years.
It's the same mentality as the passive candidates. Yep. You're really talking to passive clients. Passive clients, passive candidates have that same mindset to attract both of them.
Love that.
Just came up with that on the fly. You like
passive
that?
Clients. I do. I like that a lot. I'm going to steal it. I'm writing it down right now.
There you go. So again, make sure you're telling the right story with your content. That's not just email marketing. That's across all of the platforms. When we look at email marketing too, some other things we want to look at, please don't ignore candidates. I can't tell you how many people I talk to say, well, our number one goal is to find new candidates. Okay, great. Let's start sending out a monthly candidate newsletter. Well, no, we don't want to do that. Well, why? Well, we don't want candidates, you know, getting in contact with us. I'm sorry, wait, what? You just told me you're looking for more candidates, but you don't want candidates to contact you? And I know some people listening to this right now are shaking their heads. Yes, I agree. I, for the life of me, no matter how long I'm in this industry, will never understand that mentality. So don't leave out candidates. Make sure you're sending a regular monthly newsletter to candidates. You're staying in touch with them. Because guess what? If you're not, somebody else is, and they're going to take their job over your jobs. Did I leave you speechless?
I almost wanted to scream bingo or hallelujah. You had me in the rafters over here, Todd. Yeah, that's a good point.
Thank you. I appreciate that. What else for 2020 here? I know we've talked a lot about the kind of the big things, the website, the job board, the social media, the content marketing. What else do we need to be getting ready for 2020 and a, you know, I don't want to say it, but possible recession?
You know, Todd, for me, and Matt and I have talked about this on Insights a few times, I really want to challenge the industry to set clear and defined goals, mm-hmm, for 2020. Think through where you are right now. Think through where you want to be at this time next year and set that goal and document it. Write it down, speak it into existence, because without having a clear and defined goal, you never know if what you're doing is successful. You never know if you're just hoping and praying for growth and hoping for the best. If you want to generate more applications, sit down, figure out how many applications you're generating per week. Let's set a benchmark and say, okay, if we're generating X, we want to generate 20% more every week, whatever it is. That's our new benchmark. Here's what we're going to do to get there. Yep. You know, I worked with, countless clients in the past 7 years. And I know at Haley Marketing Group, we work with upwards of, 1,400 different clients across the industry. And the biggest challenge is coming up with a marketing solution without knowing the main goal.
Yeah.
We can throw tactic after tactic out the window and we can do our best, right? We can have the best social media that looks incredible. But if we don't know why, there's no value, right? We can have the best email campaign, but without a why, what's it good for? Right. So I would really challenge everybody that's listening right now to think through where you want to be at this time next year, this time 3 years from now. What are you trying to become as an organization? And let's put together the marketing in place to help you get there.
It's not enough to just say we want to grow next year.
Correct.
It's not even really enough to say, well, we want to grow by 40% next year. Okay, what would it take to get there? Let's drill down even to that. Does that mean 2 really big new clients? Or does that mean 20 smaller clients?
Sure. And is that realistic?
Right.
You know, think through your industry. Are 2 Goliath clients possible?
Right.
Or is 1 and maybe 10 smaller ones really the goal?
Right. Right. So have a vision in your head of what that 40% will be. And I love what you said about speaking it into existence. I always like the visualizing it into existence. We have sitting here in the studio, our goal, you and I set a goal for this year for listens for this podcast, and everything that we do revolves around that goal.
Correct.
So it's no different than, saying how much more you want to increase sales or how much you want to increase applications. Have that goal in mind, put it all over your office so that everybody on your team understands that goal. Be transparent with your team. If you tell them, hey, we're looking to bring on 10 new clients at, X number of dollars, everybody working towards that goal, that's huge.
Right.
You'll get there with everybody on the same page working for that same goal.
And outline the why. Why are we trying to do this?
Yeah.
What value is that in the average employee?
Yeah.
Maybe it's additional compensation. Maybe it's commission. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily know, but think through the why for everybody in each individual seat. What does it mean to them? What does it mean to their family, their livelihood? Think through where you want to be at this time next year, and marketing can fall into place.
Mm-hmm.
We could go for another half hour. I've loved this episode.
Me too.
We could go for another half hour and get very tactical about what I think is happening in 2020. But really, to summarize it for me, it's really defining that goal and defining where you want to be on this day next year.
Yep. And that's, I love that for the big picture. Let's take a really quick recap here of some of the stuff we talked about, starting with websites. ADA compliance, it's going to be huge in 2020.
And we have a ton of resources on HaleyMarketing.com that can help walk you through that to help you educate yourself on that ADA compliance.
Is your website mobile friendly? Like Brad said, open up your phone, or even better, have a family member or friend open up your website on their phone and go through your application process. Do they get bored or frustrated with it really quickly? Then it's time to scale it back. And just finally, does it look like it's made in 2020? There's been a lot of change. Every year it feels like website standards and norms are changing. Make sure your website looks like it was built in 2020 and not 2016.
Your website is the first impression that your organization will make on a majority of candidates and clients. Make sure that's a positive first impression.
We also talked about the job board specifically. Again, is it mobile friendly? Take a look at your job titles. Are they very descriptive? Do I know exactly what this job is? Are they SEO friendly? Take a look at the job descriptions themselves. Are you selling the job? Remember, a lot of passive candidates out there. You need to convince them why they need to leave their current position to take this one. And then, what are you doing with those links to the job board?
Are you distributing those to other sources? Are you going to social media? Are you wrapping that into an email newsletter, an email signature? And are you including salary on that job? Can somebody see themselves in that role based on the level of compensation that you'll provide them?
Social media.
You got to be human. The most human company wins. And if we think about social media in 2020, it's deploying the tactics that are humanized. It's having a level of automation to make things more efficient for you, but doing so in a way that is also humanized. Making sure you're looking at the graveyard of leads, which could become Facebook Messenger. Are you talking to people? Are you generating online reviews on Facebook? Are you active in groups? Are you posting video content that has a human element to it? Are you showcasing jobs in a countless number of ways instead of just saying, hey, apply, hey, apply, hey, apply, like a broken record? Mm-hmm. What are you doing to mix things up? And most importantly, do you have a goal for your social media? Social media shouldn't just be the youngest person in your office because they've been on Facebook and Instagram since they were born. It's thinking through what is our goal for social and how can we use it for business ROI.
And I'll add one more thing to that. Be consistent. Don't just post once a week, twice a week, three times a week, every day. Make sure you're getting something out there every single day.
It's a social media workout program.
There you go. And finally, we talked about content marketing, your emails. Again, mobile friendly. Everything you do from an electronic standpoint has to be mobile friendly. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it anymore. What story are you telling? It's not enough just to provide people with information. You need to entice them to absorb that information. Tell the story. Tell the story of why they need to be working with you. Tell the story of all the great things you have done for other candidates. Let's wrap it up. Brad, final thoughts?
Final thoughts. It's going to be a great year. I'm looking forward to 2020. I truly am. If you're listening to this podcast, whether it's in 2019 or 2020, my biggest recommendation is to sit where you are and think through your goal for the upcoming year. Whether that's 2019, 2020, where do you want to be 365 days from this point? And put together the plan and the strategy to fuel that goal and ultimately surpass it.
And my final thought is, you know, we talked about a lot of things related to marketing, but there's so much more aspects of your business that we didn't touch on. Make sure you're auditing those at least at the end of and beginning of every year, maybe even twice a year. Is everything working with your internal processes? Is your billing system as efficient as it can be? Is everybody on board with all of your goals? So not just from a marketing standpoint, but from all aspects of your business, make sure you're auditing them. Pretend like you're a candidate looking at your company. Pretend like you're a prospective client, or our new phrase, passive client, taking a look at your business. And how would you feel if you were looking at your own business?
Is your marketing effective, affordable, and strategic? Are you using the tactics that are most appropriate for your goals? Do your sales rep and recruiters have the tools they need to succeed? Download the Smart Marketing Checklist from Haley Marketing Group. Packed with over 150 ideas to make your marketing smarter, it's the ultimate resource for anybody in the staffing and recruiting industry. You can visit haleymarketing.com/smartmarketing, and we'll link to it in the show notes.
And that'll do it for this episode of Secrets of Staffing Success. My big thanks to Brad Biley for joining us on this look forward to 2020. As always, you can find Secrets of Staffing Success on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and, of course, the podcast app on your Apple device and at HaleyMarketing.com. That'll do it for us. We will talk to you next time on Secrets of Staffing Success.